And I'm already overtime by my time, so I get to go as long as I want. I might stop at lunch, noon. I have to stop at noon in Dobson, so maybe I'd stop at then. That would get us right on time, so that'll work. But anyway, Matthew chapter 5 is where our text is going to come from this morning. Matthew chapter 5, we're going to go to verse number 27. Matthew chapter 5, beginning in verse number 27. Matthew 5, beginning in verse 27. It says there, "You have heard that it was said to those of old, 'You shall not commit adultery.' But I say to you that whoever looks at a woman to lust for her has already committed adultery with her in his heart." Another thing I'm going to do, it's not very homiletical, but I'm going to have another text too that we're going to look at, and that's Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse number 3 as well. Ephesians chapter 5, beginning in verse number 3. Ephesians chapter 5, going to verse number 3. It says there, "But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, not being aimed to and for neither filling nor are not wrapping a thing. This show that no foreigner unclean chislator any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. Let no one deceive with it, for because of these things the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience." Title of my message this morning is God Speaks on Morals. And with our society today, it is hard to get to talk the subject of morality, because we don't know what to say and how to say it, but we need to wake up as the Lord's church, because our young people are committing immorality and we're losing our young people to the world before they even have a chance to be servants of God. And so what we need to do is we need to wake up and we need to understand God has clear speaking about immorality. He wants us to be paying attention. He is very serious on the subject of immorality. And I hope you young people here this morning will listen to this message. There's a lot of you here. 55, I counted last night, 25 years old down to 10 years old, or 10 years old up to 25 years old. There's a lot of you here. Satan wants to get his hooks in you. He wants you to start playing around, start fooling around, touching girls where you shouldn't, and girls touching guys where you shouldn't, and listening to music you shouldn't be listening to, watching movies you shouldn't be watching, getting television shows you shouldn't be watching, and getting all this stuff in your mind so that your mind is polluted before you're old enough to realize that you've already messed up. And so we need to be paying attention. Whenever I look at the word moral in the dictionary, it says it's conforming to the rules of right conduct, virtuous in sexual matters, chaste. Whenever Jesus talked about this in Matthew chapter 5, he got down to the heart of the issue. Even if a man looks at a woman lustfully, he has already committed adultery with her in his heart. God hates immorality. Look at Sodom and Gomorrah for a second. Was God playing around with Sodom and Gomorrah with the immorality that they had going on in their cities? Absolutely not. He brought down fire and brimstone, and I'm sick and tired of denominationalism coming into the Lord's church and everybody thinking the grace of God will cover over all these kinds of sin. It's not going to happen that way. We need to be paying attention. Phinehas, remember what happened in Numbers chapter 25? There was immorality going on, and Phinehas went and stopped a plague that hit Israel by running a man and a woman through because they were doing things that weren't right. 24,000 people were hit with a plague because God means business about immorality. So, does God speak on morals? Does God demand morality in the church today? All age groups, yes. Another thing that makes me sick is to hear people in the Lord's church talking, well, they have to go sow their wild oats before they can get serious about God. That's foolish talk. We need young men, young women that are serious about God today. And so we're going to look this morning on how does God speak on morals. How does God speak on morals? Well, the first thing is God speaks on morals by speaking against immorality. Go back to verse 28 of Matthew chapter 5. And Jesus says there, but I say to you that whoever looks at a woman to lust for her has already committed adultery with her in his heart. God speaks against immorality. And yes, even the looking at a woman and looking her up and down to see what kind of look she has is immoral in the sight of God. Now our world today says, well, that's fine. You can shop all you want, but you can't have that stuff in our lives, because impurity can destroy the Lord's church. Immorality can destroy the Lord's church. And the first thing that God speaks about that we're going to look at this morning on the idea of immorality is God talks about impurity. He speaks against impurity or fornication. The English definition of the word impurity here is the state or quality of being impure. Then whenever we look at what Vincent has to say about this word in the Greek, he says it's uncleanness, here in the sense of impurity on the side of self-desire. That's the idea of lustful, luxurious, prolificant living used of impure motives. God speaks against impurity. Go back to Ephesians chapter 5 and verse number 3 here as we look at this word. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse number 3. Ephesians chapter 5, going to verse number 3, says there, but fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not even be named among you as is fitting for the saints. But fornication, don't even let it be named among you as is fitting for the saints. God is a pure God. God is a holy God. And all of us here, I believe, want to be with God forever. But Satan likes to lull us to sleep. A little bit of impurity here, a little bit of impurity there, that's okay. It's all right. It doesn't really matter. God loves you, and He'll take care of those things, and so you can go ahead and just start getting a little bit. What He's doing is He's throwing that hook out there, and He's starting you out with just a little bit. And then He gets you a little bit more, a little bit more. And young people, He starts you out with just a little bit. It might be just touching a little bit of your boyfriend or girlfriend. Then it gets a little bit more, and a little bit more. Next you know, you're impure in the way you're acting. And we need parents, not parents, but all adults in the church to start standing up in this area of purity. What is it wrong for us to warn our young people about the way they're touching each other? What is the wrong for us to stand up and say that is not right in the sight of God? Phinehas went and killed two people, didn't he? Oh, we're afraid their parents might get mad at us for talking about it. We're trying to make it to heaven. We want these 55 young people to make it to heaven. And if we just sit idly by and say, well, things are different than whenever we were growing up, we're letting fornication be named among us. And that's not fitting for the people of God. That's not fitting for the saints of God, and we need to get it out. God does not want us to be a part of fornication or impurity. Go to Romans chapter 1 and verse number 24. Romans chapter 1, beginning in verse 24. Romans 1, beginning in verse 24, says there, therefore, God also gave them up to uncleanness in the lust of their hearts, to dishonor their bodies among themselves. God gave them up to uncleanness in the lust of their hearts. This word uncleanness here is back to that word impurity, fornication. Then let's go to verse 32. It says there, who knowing the righteous judgment of God, that those who practice such things are deserving of death. Now this is the part I want to focus on. Not only do the same, but also approve of those who practice them. God doesn't even want us to be approving of those who practice these types of things. Hollywood, I don't care whoever it is, we shouldn't be approving those who practice fornication. And if we sit by and we watch fornication in front of our eyes and we don't do anything about it, we're just as guilty as those who are doing it. And see, Satan lets us think, well, we're not acting on it, so it doesn't really matter. Well, there again, it goes back to don't let it even be named among you as is fitting for saints. God hates impurity. And God does not like impurity. Then if you go to 2 Corinthians chapter 12. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, and we're going to go to verse number 21. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, beginning in verse number 1. Says there, lest when I come again, my God will humble me among you, and I shall mourn for many who have sinned before and have not repented of the uncleanness, fornication, and lewdness which they have practiced. There's men of God here today, good, godly men that are mourning over you young people's souls, mourning over your uncleanness and your impurities, wishing for you to get it out of your lives and wake up and understand what's going on with life. But oh no, not me. I don't need to listen to anybody. Paul mourned for the souls of those who had these problems. It hurt him. It hurts preachers of righteousness. Preachers, men of God that preach from the pulpit in your church every Sunday, it hurts them to see you guys acting the way you are and not paying attention and thinking that it's all just a fun joke and a big game and it really doesn't matter. Don't even let it be named among you, the Bible says. The NIV says don't even let a hint of it come around. Not even a hint of sexual immorality. These are things that we don't want to have in our lives. Then another area that God speaks against immorality is the area of sensuality. And whenever I look at this, this is sensory. This is in the English definition of the word sensuality. Sensory or sensuous, preoccupied with sexual pleasures. Then in Vincent's, it says it's, let me get it right here. It's violence with spiteful treatment and audacity. Then in Thayer's, the word, Greek word there is aselgia, and it is unbridled lust, excess, licentiousness, lasciviousness, wantonness, outrageousness, shamelessness, insolence, wanton, manners as filthy words, indecent bodily movement, unchaste handling of males and females. I've watched a little bit, even around camp, this week. And whenever I think of the unchaste handling of males and females, I think of the uncontrollable urge to just touch places and areas, and oh, I just need to touch my boyfriend or I need to touch my girlfriend so that they know that I love them, and oh, I have to touch, and I can't get control of it. Oh no, I haven't touched them enough. Touch them some more. That's what some of you young people look like. I can't get enough. That kind of action, that unchaste handling of males and females, is the precursor to immoral acts in the bedroom. And parents, wake up! Your children are not innocent. I get tired of hearing parents come up to me and say, well, my little baby, they don't think that way. Baloney! If they have anything in the world, or they've seen the world, or they've seen any television, they know what it's all about. You know what the strongest drive is in males and females? It's the sex drive. It's natural. It comes natural. Unchaste handling of males and females. If you're not married, hands off. It's what God says. Why? Because God wants young people to be pure. I'm not that old. I'm only 27 years old. And you know what? God expects it from me. He expects it from you. But do you know, I also had a girlfriend at one time. I also had to fight the urges to touch and be moral in my actions. I was there. But I realized as I grow older, you know, there's a lot of danger. As you start going through marriage, you understand that there is a lot of danger in that. And I want to warn you, young people. Danger! Stay away! It's a trick of the devil. And young girls, guess what? You have control. I hate to say it, you do. I remember a story of my mom and dad. I hope you don't mind me using this, mom and dad. But my mom and dad were dating, and hopefully grandma and grandpa know. But anyway, mom and dad were dating, and if I get the story mixed up, tell me. I think dad went to kiss your hand, didn't he, mom? Didn't he go to kiss your hand? All right. He went to kiss mom's hand, and guess what happened? Right upside the face. Girls, you have control of this action. And if any boy has any right and morals, he wakes up and says, wait a minute, I've gone and passed the line. There's nothing wrong with that. We need to be godly young people. We need to be godly people as a whole, and all of us need to be watching this. What about adults going and sitting in areas of the church that kids think that nobody's going to be watching? What's it hurt to get out of your seat and go sit behind them? You know what? That helps control it during church services, I can tell you. Because I've done it before. And they don't like to be touching whenever somebody's sitting right next to them, because they know that, you know what, I'm not supposed to do this in front of an adult. So if they know that, it's already built in their heart to know what they should be and shouldn't be doing. And so, young people, you do know. And what would you do if the girl's dad was sitting right next to you, boys? I've already started thinking of plans for my little girl. I tell you, I don't want anybody mistreating my daughter or touching her in ways that she shouldn't be touched. Because she's an innocent little girl. But you know what? All these girls have dads that feel the same way that I do about my little Katie Beth. And young men, whenever their moms and dads aren't here to watch, you control yourself. Treat them with respect. Treat them like they should be treated, the pure and holy girl that they need to be treated like. Unchaste handling of males and females. The indecent bodily movements. Harold talked about this, and Harold, I thank you for a great introduction to my subject. I appreciate that. But you know, we need to not be indecent bodily movement. And I think what Harold's talking about is there's this new trend. I think they're called drama teams in churches. You know, I've sat and I've watched some, and yeah, they all have good meanings. But they have dancing in them. Dancing. Jesus dancing with a young girl that fought off all these things. And some of you young people know what I'm talking about. That's right. It dishonors Christ. It shows Christ as one that dances and doesn't mind getting close and things to girls. It's wrong. God doesn't like that. God put a plague on the Israelite people. 24,000 people because of indecent things were going on in the nation of Israel. God, it means business. And I just want us to pay attention and listen and understand that we aren't doing this just so you can't have fun. We're not doing this just so you can't make that and feel that cloud nine feeling that you get. No, we're doing this to protect you. from premarital sex. We're doing this to protect you from getting so involved and emotionally caught up in somebody that you might end up marrying somebody you're not even fit to marry. Because you got caught up and you got touching and you got to feel, and next you know, you feel like you have to marry that person because you got uncontrolled. Girls, guys, wake up. This isn't what God wants to have among His church. And yes, whether you like it or not, whether you think, well, I'm not part of the church until I'm 26, 27 years old, you're part of the church now. Any of you that have been baptized into Christ, you've been clothed with Christ, you are the church. And so, yes, it does apply to you. And yes, it does mean hands off to you, because God's talking to you. Romans chapter 13, verse number 13. Romans chapter 13, beginning in verse number 13. Says there, let us walk properly as in the day, not in revelry and drunkenness, not in lewdness and lust, not in strife and envy, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill its lusts. Young people, help each other out. Why not? Whenever you see a young couple start going off into the dark by themselves, go over there and join them. They might look at you kind of mad and get a little angry, but why not? Don't you want those people to make it to heaven too? We are bad to look the other way. All of us, young people, old people alike, we're bad to look the other way and think, well, you know, things are a little bit different. That's foolishness. God means business. What if God came back whenever they were sneaking off into the trees? They stand before the judgment throne of God. And if they're doing these acts, these are wrong in the sight of God, guess what? They stand before God on the judgment throne, and His judgment, His righteous and holy judgment, and they get told to them, away from me, I never knew you. That's how serious this is. That's how important this is. It's a matter of heaven or hell, life or death. And you know what? Satan knows when the desire's there. He knows when it's strong, and he knows how to capitalize, because he is Satan. Young couples, pray together that you remain pure. Engaged couples, always take the right action. Strive to be in places that aren't going to get you in trouble. These are all things that we better take heed to, because we can find ourselves on the day of judgment, standing before the judgment throne of God. And think of it this way. Do you want God to name off all the things that you did with your boyfriend or girlfriend in front of everybody in the world? If you don't want God to be doing that, keep your hands off. Wait. Also think of it this way. If you don't end up getting married to that guy or girl, you've just been handling somebody else's husband or wife. And you have got them messed up, the husband and or wife, to where they've already done things that they might be ashamed of and guilty of before they're even married. We are the Lord's church. And so none of this should be going on. None of this foolishness should be going on in the Lord's church. And parents, pay attention. Be on the lookout. Young people are slick, and they will try any way to sneak around and get doing the things they're not supposed to be doing. And don't think that they're innocent, because they are not. Then another area that God speaks on, we've had impurity, sensuality. Immorality is another one. And the Greek word here is porneia. And you guys understand the word porneia? Thayer says it's illicit sex, adultery, fornication, homosexuality. We need to wake up on immorality as well. I was doing another sermon, and I came across this, and I couldn't find it for this sermon, but I came across just an astonishing statistic. And that is one out of every two young people under the age of 25 has a sexually transmitted disease. One out of two. You tell me immorality is not a problem in our world today. It is. And if it's a problem in the world, the church better be on their guard, because we're the next one they're going to come after. And we're going to be the next one that's going to have all this junk going on, girls getting pregnant and everything, because we didn't want to say anything about it. Wake up. Wake up, young people. It's time for us not to think that everything and everybody is pure and everybody's innocent. Nobody thinks these thoughts. It's time to wake up about these things. If we don't wake up soon enough, we're going to lose our future leaders. If we don't wake up soon enough, we're going to lose a lot of our young people to this. Preachers preach against it. Parents, make sure your kids know about it, because you know what? If you're not talking to them about it, somebody else is teaching them, and they're probably not teaching them the way they should be taught about it. Get it out. Galatians chapter 5 and verse number 19. It has this word it used here. Galatians 5 verse number 19. Galatians chapter 5, beginning in verse number 19. It says, "Now the works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, and lewdness." The word pornea is used here. Another thing that we need to be watching out for is the pornographic literature that the world produces. One of the biggest businesses in the world today is the porn business on the internet. And so we do have to be watching ourselves, and we do have to be making sure all of us men need to be sure we get rid of all the pornography we have. Get it out. And if we struggle with it, I have found a website, and I want to say it right now, and it's www.covenanteyes.com, and you can go there for $6 a month. You can put your computer on, you put an email address of somebody that you trust, and guess what? They send everything that your computer looks at. And they rate from 1 to 100 on how bad it is. That's surprising. I've even seen it. I've used it myself. I've seen just ads pop up that are ranked 25 and 26 that were on a web page of a sports page I was looking at. And there's no way of hiding it. Once you download that software, you have to have a password, and your accountability partner has to have a password, and you can't erase it off of your computer until you talk to the person that you're accountable to. Well, don't we want to be pure? Don't we want to get this out of our lives and overcome it? Absolutely. And if it comes at the cost of that, why not do it? We need to get rid of this stuff. Men losing homes over pornography. And women left with messed up lives because their husbands had all sorts of problems with pornography. It destroys the marriage relationship. Whoever says it enhances it is foolish. But there's people out there saying it. I've even heard people in the church say that, "Oh, well, that can enhance my marriage." Baloney! They're not in the church anymore, by the way. Surprise, surprise. Well, get it out. Pornea, God has nothing to do with those things. And then go back. Remember what we said in the passage about not do we partake in them, but we also approve of those who do. And men, I can hear it, and I can hear the excuses. "Well, I'm not doing it, so it's okay." Baloney. You're giving hearty approval of those who are. And it's sick, and it's disgusting, and it's gross. And get it out. We need to get it out of our lives. And young men, don't let any other young men start showing you pornographic literature. Because it can mess up your life as well. Another one that God talks about that He's serious about is dirty talk. And boy, dirty talk can go anywhere now today. We have IM and text messaging and we have all these other things. And you know, mom and dad don't even know what we're looking at and how we're writing back and forth and what we're saying. And you know, there's even codes. Mom's in room. Gotta go. And it's in a code where mom and dad don't even realize. Well, why is there a code out there? Mom and dad are in the room. I've got to go. There must be something going on those phones that shouldn't be going on. Mom and dad, cell phones. Guard them. I don't think there's... Well, I'm serious. I don't think young people should be on the phone at 4 o'clock in the morning talking to each other. There's nothing good that can come from that. What's wrong with us? Oh, my little innocent Johnny, they'd never say anything bad at 4 o'clock in the morning. Did you even realize they were awake at 4 o'clock? Your little innocent Johnny. All this stuff is things that we all need to wake up to, pay attention about. Because these are all vices that the devil's using to control our young people. Do I think IM is wrong? Absolutely not. I think IM is one of the greatest things. I think it's awesome that you can talk to somebody across the country on the computer without using your cell phones or your phones. I think it's great. But I do think that parents better be paying attention to what's going on. I do think parents should be checking out your children's MySpace pages, see who's talking to your children, and what's going on with your children's MySpace. And you know, I also know that there's also Christian MySpace is out there now. Why don't you get your child involved in that? And all you young people, start going over to the Christian sites because they are a little bit more controlled. They're not great, but they're better than the worldly MySpace. What's MySpace going to do? They're not going to control any of the things that your children say or do. How serious are we about the souls of our young people and dirty talk? Dirty talk is double talk. It can mean one thing, and you know, young people have an advantage over old people too. And I'm in the younger category than some of the others out here. And I know things that are double talk that you guys might not even realize is double talk out there now. And then you guys that are younger than me, you probably have things that I don't realize is double talk. Why should we be on the fringe of that kind of talk when God speaks against it? Wouldn't it be awful? I mean, the Bible even talks about every idle word spoken we're going to be judged for. Wouldn't it be awful? Because I wanted to make a little joke and a little hee-haw over something that wasn't very good. Wouldn't it be awful for me to go to hell over that? And you know, I have an older guy in the congregation. And he does not talk dirty. But that word about idle talk sent him into a 3-week or 4-week long time of battle in his own life where he said, you know what, I need to control what I'm talking about. He wasn't talking about necessarily gross talk, but just everything he was talking about. He wanted to spend more time talking about the things of God. What's wrong with young people starting out a conversation, looking out in the creation, saying, man, isn't our God great? What's wrong with our young people saying, you know what, I love God and I'm thankful to be a servant of God? And young people, why do you make fun of those who talk like that? Why do you make fun of those who are serious about God? Shame on you. They're trying to be servants of God. And you think, well, that's pretty cool to make fun of these that aren't trying to be servants of God. Ephesians chapter 5, 4 talks about this dirty talk. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 4 says, neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor coarse jesting, which are not fitting, but rather giving of thanks. Nor foolish talking, nor coarse jesting, which are not fitting for who? The people of God. They're not fitting for us. And you say, well, you know, young people don't know these things. As I was preparing this message, I talked to my dad, and he said, in 1950, in second grade, they had a little song that they sang out on the playground that had double talk. 1950! Grandpa goes before that, and he came out of a church where there was a bunch of people talking dirty talk. And that's one thing he didn't like about the Christian church, is because it was okay in the Christian church for these kids to talk that way. It's not okay for God's people to be talking that way. Any of God's people. Control it. Get rid of the things that are causing your children to maybe do this. Be very looking out for your children. And children, you might hate me after this message because your mom and dad might get real strict. Well, you know what? You'll love me in heaven whenever you make it to heaven because of it. I'm serious. These are serious things. And why does it mean so much to me? I was hit over the head with this with one of our young people. One that I love very dearly came to me and somebody was talking to me and telling me about it. I couldn't believe some of the stuff this young person was talking about. Love the person. She's great, but she got caught up in it. If she can get caught up in it, any of us can get caught up in it. The world can get caught up in it. Wake up and understand God has no place for immorality in the church. Then another area God talks about immorality is the area of modesty. We've got a problem. It's really hard for us today to talk about this problem because we don't want to realize there is a problem. But whenever girls of our society today are walking around in clothes that whores wouldn't wear in the 1800s, we need to wake up! I'm talking about whores in the 1800s wouldn't wear some of the stuff that our children are walking across in America and wearing. And don't let your little daughter or your son say, well, it's okay. All sorts of categories we can discuss in this area of modesty. Let's first go to 1 Timothy chapter 2. 1 Timothy chapter 2. And we're going to go to verse number 9. 1 Timothy chapter 2, beginning in verse number 9. It says there, in like manner also, that the women adorn themselves in modest apparel, with propriety and moderation, not with braided hair, or gold, or pearls, or costly clothing, but which is proper for women professing godliness with good works. Modesty. This covers everything. Maybe your child's not wearing the short shorts. Maybe they're not wearing things. I mean, maybe it is high enough and low enough. But is it too tight? I mean, do we want our little girls causing boys in the church and men in the church to have to look away because of what our child is wearing? Shame on us for letting our child put that on. You know, another thing I was thinking about when I was thinking about modesty. Why do they print words on the rear end of sweatpants? I mean, why? So you'll look at a woman's rear end. Ungodly, immodest. And the devil is trying to sneak it in any way he can. And yes, I understand, young girls, it's hard to find modest clothing. My mom altered a lot of clothes for my sister. We can do those things, parents. We can change these things, and we can do things that will cause our girls to be modest. If it's questionable, don't let them wear it. And don't let them talk you into the popularity thing. Well, I'll look so bad whenever I go to school. I'd rather look bad when I go to school than to have my daughter end up getting raped because of what she's wearing. Or have my daughter end up and have a boy do something to her that he shouldn't because of what she's wearing. Well, men are just, you know, all of them out there are perverts. I've heard that too. Well, men are just perverts. And if I can't wear these clothes and men look at me in a way, then they're all perverts. Well, you know what? Even godly men can look at women in the wrong way. And if you're wearing stuff that causes that, shame on you. Job was a godly man, but he made a covenant with his eyes not to look lustfully at a girl, the Bible says. He was a godly man, but he still had to make that covenant, didn't he? He did. And all of us do. There again, it goes back to the strongest drive in men and women. Sex drive. So, get it looser. Make sure it's down low enough. Make sure it's up high enough. Make sure it's modest in the sight of God. In the Garden of Eden, Adam and Eve attempted to dress in a modest manner, and they failed. You know, because they put something on when they realized they were naked, and God came back and had to reclothe them again. Well, God must mean business about modesty. It must mean something to God if He clothed the first man and woman. I mean, what's wrong with the first man and woman? They're married. They were a couple. What's wrong with them wearing immodest clothes around each other? But see, God set the standard right in the Garden of Eden. He wanted modesty. He wanted women and men to dress in a modest manner. And men, yes, you too. Get your clothes a little bit looser. Make sure you're not wearing stuff that's indecent in the sight of women. Because that's not good either. Get it out. Another area is homosexuality, that God speaks on immorality. And yes, this is something I think we need to talk about, because we are getting flooded and bombarded, and it might be a few years down the road where us preachers will have to be put in jail for preaching against this. But you know what? It still is wrong in the sight of God, no matter what. And young people, don't let teachers or anybody let you think that you're wrong in the sight of everybody else in the world because you say homosexuality is wrong. Stand up for what's right. Well, we need to. It was because people didn't start standing up a long time ago that we're in the situation we're in today with homosexuality. And you know, 4 out of 10 young people that I asked that have walked through church doors, 4 out of 10 said it was all right to be a homo. There's something wrong, isn't there, in our society whenever 4 out of 10 that come to church, They're not always there, but they come, and they say, well, it's all right. I don't see anything wrong with it. Who am I to judge? Well, God made a judgment, didn't He? Rained down fire and brimstone on Sodom and Gomorrah. God talks about this also, where men and women exchange the natural use of each other for others in Romans. So yes, God does speak on this area. Didn't have a chance to do my second part of the sermon, which is a little bit nicer, by God speaking on morals. But Matthew chapter 5:8, only beatitude in the Bible where God talks of people getting to see God, and that's blessed, are the pure in heart. So the heart issue of every young person in this room today, every adult in the room of this room today, is your heart pure in the sight of God? Because if it's not, young person or old person, if your heart is not pure in the sight of God, you will not see God. The opposite of that verse. So God does speak on morals. God speaks loud and clear on morals. And our song of invitation is 642. We need young people, adults, men and women, to be resolved to no longer linger, charmed by the world's delights, these things that seem so innocent and so great. No, it's not for us. Let's stand as we sing 642.